Okay, I'm up. Got it. Some of my best work. Okay. Hang on 1 second. Leo's upstairs hiding from the trick-or-treatings, but he keeps wanting to bark, so I'm going to put his bark collar on so he kind of hushes up. Hold on. Yeah. All right, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
Hey, let's do another thing. We did it last year. I think it's just good for talking points.
Yeah.
Some more when we're talking about the lineup. Last year we did a preseason MVP, breakout player, newcomer, and X Factor.
Okay.
All
Wait,
right.
let me write these down. So, MVP, breakout, newcomer. And what? X Factor. And the X Factor is somebody who needs to step up.
If he plays well, Mikal gets significantly better odds.
Okay. Okay.
Basically, it's just another thing to talk about.
Yep.
Okay, so I'm going to go for my MVP preseason. I'm going to go Burton.
Yeah, I think that. All right, who do you have for breakout? Okay. Breakout, I'm gonna say Steve Taylor.
Newcomer, well, there's not many options there.
Yep. I'm gonna say Dwayne Wilson. Yep. Yeah. I'm going to say Dwayne Wilson. Juwan Johnson. Yeah, we're still rolling. That we can put this in the director's yeah the director's cut the commentary section commentary on the commentary. Yeah, we will charge roughly 3 cents for it. And you know how many people will pay 3 cents? Nobody. Yeah. All right, ready when you are. Right. We're neither one of us are going to be home anytime in the next month, so we're going to have to take care of it all now. Yeah, we'll just re record six or seven different possibilities, and we'll plug in whatever actually ends up happening. Right. Well, we'll find whether there's optimism to be had or not. In you know, like I've said before, though, caveat when we go through the schedule, I'm actually optimistic on the season in general, just pessimistic as to how they're going to perform, if that makes any sense whatsoever. Yeah, absolutely. I have a win there and as well against Wisconsin Lutheran in exhibition. Well, those will decide seeding in the tournament, I've been told. Correct. I have it as a loss, and it's going to be a relatively big loss. Surprisingly, though, I don't think it'll be as bad as last year's loss, which is weird, but it's still a loss. That's true. Well, no. Unless we raised the Titanic and sank it again. Yes. Yes, I have both his wins. Yeah, I don't know enough about Georgia Tech. They seem to be constantly rebuilding, so I'm going to say a W for their first true road win of the season. I see a one win and two losses. I think they kind of expend themselves in the Georgia Tech game. There's virtually no way they're going to take out Michigan State. And then the to be determined. Listen, I married my Badger wife expressly so I could ruin the fun of one Badger in the world. However, this is a case where the Badgers are going to ruin all our fun. I just don't see any way that Marquette can pull the upset. Wisconsin's too good, too experienced. Marquette's still too young. And if I'm correct, Luke Fisher still would not be back for that game. So Frank Kaminsky, your table is ready. I'm actually, for the same reasons, actually going to go with a loss. I think that, granted, they'll have 10 days, but I think psychologically after the Wisconsin loss, which potentially may be a drubbing, and getting Fisher back and having to totally change style. I mean, let's be honest, Fisher will change the way the team plays in a good way, but it's going to take some time to get into that rhythm. While I don't think Arizona State's very good, I do think that in the non-conference season, Marquette's really going to struggle, and I think Arizona State comes up with a loss there. Those are 3 wins to break the 4-game losing streak I had running there. That's depressing. Yeah, I'll need to make sure I have all my dumpster fire pictures ready to post. Right. Right. If they're 8-4, I'm satisfied. Anything better than 8-4, I'm damn near ecstatic. Which was awesome. Yep. I agree with you that there will be a lot of Marquette fans there, but the Allstate Arena is literally and figuratively a house of horrors, especially for Marquette. I do think there'll be a lot of fans there, but you know, whether it's overhype from the you know, being the opening game of Big East play or what, I have DePaul and their awful team racking up a win against Marquette, unfortunately. Yeah. I know. I am not looking forward to the Twitter Marquette Illuminati coming after me. Well, I have them getting off the schneid with a win. I have Georgetown as a loss as well. Georgetown's going to be top three team in the Big East. And at this point in the season, Marquette's still too inexperienced and too young to steal one on the road, I think. Yes.
Basically the 3 and 7.
Well, let's be honest. I mean, we're being, I don't know whether we're being pessimistic or realistic or not, but given what the Big East has, there is a scenario where if Marquette avoids injuries and its talent plays up to expectation, that Marquette could go on a tear and really do some damage in the Big East. Correct. Right, and I also have them beating Creighton at home because Creighton is clearly worse and Doug McDermott is not walking through those doors. Thankfully. I think it's probably the most natural rivalry of the new teams in the Big East for Marquette. Right. I have them losing both as well, both from the regards that they're road trips. And I do think St. John's is going to be a little resurgent this year. I mean, they were really feisty last year. Marquette struggled with them. I think lost both games to them in overtime both times. I think St. John's is going to be resurgent, and I think Xavier will be strong. So road wins just right aren't there yet for – I mean, we're still only in January. I don't think Marquette has enough experience by that point to get road wins. Hasn't eaten a cheeseburger?
Yeah, or staying away from Chipotle if you've read those things that apparently Ben Hallen made him do. If you read the rest of the course, Ben Hallen apparently put up his face at the nearby Chipotle when he was at UCLA.
Yep.
Said, keep him out.
I don't know if what's worse. Is that a poor reflection on Josh Smith or Ben Howland?
Probably a little bit of both.
Right. Yeah, it would be great.
But he is apparently, for what it's worth, again, we're saying this in October, he is trimmed down by his standards and is in pretty good shape. So if he's good, Georgetown will be very good. So I have them losing the Georgetown again.
Well, this is my one shining moment of optimism, I think. I actually have a win here. Marquette's starting to play to their talent level. It is a home game on a Saturday. I just think Marquette would be due for a big win there. So I actually have a win there.
All right. Well, that would definitely be the kind of win that would kind of spark some optimism in the fan base to beat Georgetown. That's happened actually the past couple of years.
Right.
Georgetown has been like a win that everyone says, all right.
So you're telling me we got a chance. You know what? I think Seton Hall is going to be the candidate for chemistry issues in the Big East this year. I think they're going to have talent, but they're just going to be a whole series of head cases. So I think by this point in the season, they may be self-destructing. I've got Marquette with a win at home against Seton Hall. I do as well.
So hopefully that's another win there.
I also, we don't even need to talk about it.
They're the top team in the Big East, and I actually had them now in back-to-back losses on this little road trip, because this is two games in 4 days here, because, or 3 days, it's the 4th and the 7th. I have them losing to Seton Hall, because on the road in the next one, I think, again, yeah, you said maybe chemistry will be an issue, talent, probably not for Seton Hall. I think I'd say they get tripped up at Seton Hall.
Yeah, I think this is one of those games that by the time we get to it, Marquette should win. But again, the youthfulness and inexperience rears its ugly head at Seton Hall, and I have a loss as well.
All right. So then after those two losses, then back home for Xavier, a team that kind of exceeded expectations last year, was pretty good. But in Milwaukee, I am optimistic that Marquette can get a win at home against X.
I do as well. Again, this is the point in the season where Marquette is starting to play to their talent level. Wojciechowski is starting to put it together with the team, and I give them a win as well.
As I go through the schedule, I'm starting to think maybe I'm piling up too many wins here, but I'm just going to go with my gut as we kind of go through the schedule. The next one is at Creighton in Omaha, which was a nightmare last year, but again, as we said earlier, not the same team, so I'm hopeful that Marquette can go to Omaha and get a win this year on Valentine's Day.
Yeah, I think that's a win as well. As long as Krabby and McDermott aren't raining threes on our heads, I think we'll be okay.
Yeah, and then I have Villanova ruining National Marquette Day. You too?
Yep, I do as well.
Yeah, all right. So then Butler, at Butler, always, you know, it will always be a tough place to play. But again, I would hope Marquette is a better team than Butler. That's a game that, you know, could be just one of those losses that is just so frustrating as Marquette. This is, you know, late February where Marquette may or may not be in the bubble discussion. This is a game where I could totally see Marquette tripping up and losing, but I'm just going to try to be a little optimistic here and say they beat Butler.
I do think they beat Butler as well. I think, you know, Butler's coach is going to be out. It's going to be interesting to see how they respond. I'm going to say Marquette with a win here, which would, for me, be their first road win in Big East. This is, I mean, obviously I'm projecting all the way out to March 1st, but this is one of those games that I'm 50-50 on. But I think it's one of those games where Marquette probably, when we get to it, on paper should win, but because they're youthful and inexperienced, they lose the game. So I have them as a loss as well. Unlike you, I do not waffle when I make predictions 4 months in advance. I'm going to stay with a win here. I do think down the stretch, Marquette will be playing very strong basketball.
And if that happens, Phil, you know, that would be Marquette's first March win since 2013.
Oh, good news.
They went 0 for March in 2014.
Yes, and pissed everyone off in the process.
Yeah, that was a rough one. Let's not talk about that.
Yeah, we've left that behind. I have it as a win. DePaul always seems to play Marquette tough, even in Milwaukee. There have been a couple of questionable games. But I think this is actually the game, again, projecting 4 months out, I think this is the game where Marquette just goes nuts and kind of puts a stamp on a game that says, you guys better take us seriously next year because we're coming for the Big East. That is correct.
All right. So then overall, because I had them one better in non-conference and Phil had them one worse, I had them
I think we have them vying for the NIT, which I would be, obviously I want them in the tournament, but if it came down to it, I want them to be vying at least for the NIT, because this is a team, if you're playing in postseason, you get extra practice time, and that could be very, very useful for such a young team. Well, I don't. I'm going to go out on a limb and say we're not going to have the same coaching situation we had this past postseason. Yeah, Marquette may have been transitioning at that point. I agree. Right. And again, I don't want to anger all of the Twitter Illuminati to come after me. I would like to remain somewhat positive. I would take it. Well, I don't know. I did do. I actually, everyone brace yourselves. I did a little bit of prepping for this. Whoa, everyone, look out! And I kind of looked at all the players on the roster that are eligible to play, and I looked at their average minutes played and their max minutes played in a game previously. What was the most minutes they ever played? And one of the things that previously I think we were counting on a lot, and I'm not sure how to interpret it, but Luke Fisher, if you look at it, and I'd kind of forgotten this, he only played in 11 games, averaged 4.1 minutes with a max of 19 minutes against, directional, Sisters of the Poor University. Correct. So we would anticipate him getting big minutes at Marquette, especially since he's the only size we're going to have. But I'm going to be very curious to see. I think he's a starter once he's eligible, but I really wonder how many minutes he actually gets. He's not going to go for 40 minutes. Does he go for 20 minutes? Correct. So who do you have as your starting five? I think I'm still looking at the starting lineup of Derek, Carlino, Juwan Johnson, Deontay Burton, and Steve Taylor pre Luke Fisher. And then Juwan Johnson comes out of the starting lineup when Fisher's back. But how many, if you were to look at it from a minutes perspective, take the bundle of Derek, Matt, Juwan, and Dwayne Wilson. Of those four, who's getting the most minutes, do you think? Well, that would be cheating, but okay, fine. Well, the thing that's going to be interesting with Carlino is I think he's a, and I mean with this with the utmost respect, he seems to be a chucker to me. He seems to be one that's looking to yeah, he's got the ball, he's going to shoot. He's kind of a, Antoine Walker back in our college days was the volume shooter. Going in the Wayback Machine. I don't think I'm not comparing the two. I just think Carlino will be putting up a lot of shots. If they're going in, that's fine, but I just hope he's not a ball stopper, that kind of disrupts the offensive flow. Right. Right. Well, and I think the telling thing, and one of the reasons, especially early, I'm not super optimistic, is if you look at it again, preparedness alert, there are four players on the roster that have double-digit minutes for averaging. They've averaged double-digit minutes. That's it. Juan Anderson averaged 13 minutes, Derek Wilson 31 minutes, Matt Carlino 30 minutes at BYU, and then Deontay Burton averaged 12.6 minutes. Obviously, Deontay is going to get a ton more minutes, but and Derek Wilson, if he's averaging 31 minutes again this season, either his jump shot is vastly improved or Marquette's in a little bit of trouble, I think. Right. It shouldn't surprise anyone, but I'm going to go with Bane, Deontay Burton. I think he's last season he was probably the most exciting thing about Marquette basketball, and I think he's going to be again this season. I think he's going to put in 25, 30 minutes a game, and probably average 13, 14 points a game, 6, 7 rebounds, and just be a serious two-way threat.
about a breakout player? Now, a breakout player could be a guy who's either new to the team or a guy who played very little last year and is going to have a significant breakout this season.
I'm gonna go with, because I want to bring the hashtag back mostly, free Steve Taylor. I think Steve Taylor Jr., he was hobbled by injury and then anchored by Buzz to the bench last season. I think we see, you know, two times what he was in that Syracuse game as a freshman year. I think he's got a chip on his shoulder and a lot to prove. I think he's got a lot of talent, and there's going to be a lot of playing time down low. So I think Steve Taylor is going to be a real breakout that we're going to be talking about him this season and next season as a serious stud.
Yeah, he's really going to have to be, because he's going to be counted on to play a lot, out of position, really.
Right. Yeah, I think so. And based on the, you know, neither one of us went to the Haunted Hoop scrimmage, but based on the feedback from the scrimmage of people who were there. Now, Derek Wilson didn't play because he was day to day with a groin injury, but Dwayne Wilson looked vastly improved from the first scrimmage. So hopefully that continues as he gets run time. I like the pick. Yeah, I think he's a solid 6'1".
Yeah, but I saw him, you know, getting up there and blocking shots of guys who were 6'8", 6'9". I was like, man, this guy's got some springs. Wearing that number one, he reminded me of Dominique James on that particular block shot that I remember. But we'll see if he can be a big-time player this year. What about a newcomer, Phil? A guy who did not play at all last year, who can contribute some this year.
Well, I'm glad you say did not play at all last year, because I'm going to steal your player that you just mentioned. I think Dwayne Wilson is the newcomer this year. He was injured last year. He's got a lot to prove. He's got a lot of talent. He's going to come in and really turn some heads in as the newcomer, where people go, oh, man, if we had had him last year, what could we have had? Right. He doesn't like self-tanning. Right.
So I think hopefully, he put meat on the bones, as Wayne Wright said last year when he first came into the program, and he's bulked up, and he'll have plenty of time in practice. There won't be much wear and tear on the body once he jumps in Big East play. And I think he will be a difference maker in Big East play. I mean, I'm not saying he'll be an all Big East player, but I think he will be a significant presence. And once he takes the floor, I think everyone will be like, thank goodness this guy is here.
Well, and he's going to have to be. He's going to have to be.
He absolutely has to be. As I said before, during non-conference play, I think we will be saying, gosh, we miss Ox so badly.
Yeah.
So badly. We'll say that so often.
Yeah. Well, and I think Luke Fisher is going to be the one player that has to step up. You know, the other players we all want to, but we've got some pieces at other positions that if one player doesn't step up, we should be able to have another player step up. Luke Fisher is the one player. There is not another Luke Fisher on the roster.
There will be maybe some more next year.
Correct.
Finally, the last thing is something I just kind of made up, just because it's
Well, it is a make-believe podcast. So are you going with Mayo this year? Right. I think that's totally a fair pull. I think he showed some things. There were brief flashes last year that he showed some ability that I think would translate very well and could really feed the team, which was one of the frustration points, I think, of the fan base was why, you know, Juwan Johnson wasn't getting more PT. So I think you're right to have him as an X factor. I'm totally cheating and lazy here. I'm picking Dwayne Wilson again as an X factor. He's going to be the newcomer, and Dwayne Wilson is going to be, and maybe similar to how you have Juwan Johnson, but I think Dwayne Wilson with his athleticism, his ability to drive to the hole is going to take some pressure off some other players and hopefully kind of be the stir that or the straw that stirs the drink, if you will. It's easy for me to say for Marquette's offense. So the offense will really get going when Dwayne Wilson is playing at the top of his game. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and Steve Taylor and Juwan Johnson both are the players with the biggest, what I would say, chip on their shoulder. I mean, to, you know, by their own admission, they were likely gone after last season if things hadn't gone the way they went. So clearly they were frustrated. They felt their talent was being underused. So I have a sneaking suspicion that they're very interested in proving that they deserve to be getting time last year by how they performed this year. No, I we're less than 2 weeks away, so I think it's time to start actually playing games and seeing what the talent is as opposed to just speculating. Right. Can he coach a game? We'll find out.